The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Real quick, hold that. Jason, before you react on Joel, let's give people a chance right now, because tomorrow we're giving away tickets to the Eagles and Panthers. Let's give you a name right now.
And the name is...
The name to know for tomorrow at this time is Jason's former teammate, Nigel Bradham.
Nigel.
Eagles, Panthers.
Yeah, buddy.
I think of Nigel Bradham and a kick ass performance, week six, I believe it was, 2017. It was a night on a Thursday night. Panthers had a good record. Eagles had a better record. And when it was all said and done, Eagles had an even better record. And he was, I thought, the best player out there that night. Of course, Ray, we give these tickets away tomorrow at 8 o'clock. People got to know the name Nigel Bradham.
Courtesy of NovaCare Rehabilitation, the power of physical therapy. You know what I think of when I think of Nigel? Besides that?
I know exactly what it is.
Umbrella.
Yeah.
Umbrella.
Well, and also the best quote ever from Jim Schwartz.
Oh, remember my God. Quote? Dumbass, was it?
Yeah, if you act like a dumbass.
You probably are.
You probably are a dumbass.
Speaking of.
Well, let me just real quick say, tomorrow, listen at 8 o'clock. We've given three names out so far this week. We do this Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday at 8, and then one more name Friday at 8. Know the four names. You can win tickets to the Eagles-Panthers game tomorrow. You got to listen at 8 o'clock. John, go ahead.
Speaking of Jim Schwartz, speaking of defensive coordinators, Jason, why is it that the real – I don't really feel like talking about Joel.
Well, just give me a quick – because your face lit up on Joel. What are you thinking, Jason?
No, I just don't know, you know, what rest – I mean, we've been a part of seeing guys with cartilage damage. Like, once the damage is there, I don't know how much the rest really
– Yeah.
Like, he's going to get healthy again. The moment he goes back out there, it's going to start rubbing again, and then it's going to be where it is now. Like, I don't know. It's a very disheartening thing, because it's not the cartilage stuff. Once that thing goes, I don't know that there's really a great answer.
You saw Jay Ajayi, and I don't remember the specific, but You saw when a good player can no longer do it, he can't do it.
Well, yeah, not just, I mean, every player. I mean,
sure.
That's what,
but he was
that's
young.
That's most of the career.
Right.
His was a catastrophic injury early on.
Okay.
Now, I mean, you've had other guys that have had the cartilage stuff earlier in their career, they've had a procedure and it's corrected itself. But the idea that, you know, there's not going to be a procedure done, we're just going to rest and this thing's going to get better. I don't know medically what exactly is happening, but I'm not very optimistic that's going to be necessarily that beneficial.
It sounds like with multiple menisci, is that the term, James or John? Menisci?
Menisci.
They may have chipped away so much that it might just not
in the vein of octopi?
Be there. Exactly.
Exactly right, yeah.
Exactly. All right, John, I'm sorry. What were you getting at?
The real Vic Fangio this season.
Will the real Vic Fangio please stand?
It's so much better than the fake Vic Fangio. You know, last year, we were told, hey, this is an approximation of what Vic Fangio does. We were told that this is what defenses in the NFL run. It's Vic Fangio's schemes. But, these are Vic Fangio disciples. These are Vic Fangio guys. These are guys who think like Vic Fangio. And then what we saw was disorganization and guys who really never learned the terminology the second time around. And it was just mayhem more than anything else.
So we're talking about last season is what we're talking about.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know that I want to touch on, because last season, I think there's multiple issues there. There's a staff that's being built together, and it was built together late because of the Super Bowl run. And I think that there was pieces in that staff that, you know, it's hard. It's really hard to build a cohesive unit in the National Football League. And I like Sean Desai. I like Matt Patricia a lot. And I think that ultimately they just couldn't get it right. And quite frankly, we were worse from a personnel perspective on the defensive side of the ball. So
true, yeah.
I think that this year we have really good players. Through 4 weeks, people thought Vic Fangio was not the best defensive coordinator. I mean, I can go back to that Tampa Bay game and that Atlanta game, and people are like, what is going on? When we're getting run through against Atlanta and Tampa Bay is throwing at will. I think what I have liked watching the past few weeks is the aggression. And there's a way to play these zones but still be aggressive and still take chances. And there's a way for a defensive line to be reading and still knocking back the offensive line and controlling the line of scrimmage. And I think that they are doing a phenomenal job of playing with aggression, relentlessness, flying to the football. The defensive line is playing better. But they're playing better on first and second. Like, everybody's like, oh, they're finally rushing the passer. They're playing better on first and second down. They're getting more opportunities to rush the passer. Jalen Carter is taking over the line of scrimmage inside. Jordan Davis is, playing outstanding and stopping the run, and that gets them into these certain long situations where all of a sudden now guys are able to rush the passer at a higher rate. I really love probably the most obviously – I'm trying to think of how to say this. The linebacker position is probably the most obvious for me if they're well coached or not. And it was very obvious as a player. It's harder watching it, but as a player, you would play teams and you're like, they have a good linebacker coach. And you play teams and you're like, these guys are just safeties that are in the box waiting to drop into coverage. Mm. The position over the last decade has changed into one geared for the passing game. So much so that there's a lot of players that play that position now, and there's a lot of coordinators and positional coaches of that position that coach it as such.
Mm-hmm.
And it was very easy to block the second level for a large part of my career later on than it was earlier when you go up to New England or you go to Pittsburgh and you play the Brandon Spikes would come down and knock your head off.
Yeah.
And that has changed. And I don't know that N'Kobe Dean and Zach Bond are those type of linebackers either, but they play with aggression. They use their hands. I think Bobby King, the linebacker coach, has been phenomenal at getting a lot out of those guys as well as Vic Fangio. That's the one position that there's so much that happens within that landscape right there. When I think of the best defenses that I play with in my career and the best defenses that I think of in the NFL, the linebacker positions make a huge difference. And they're really playing at an extremely high level, especially Zach Bond, which I think makes the whole defense run a lot more efficiently.
It's been wild to see those guys play. It really has. Twitter poll question of the day. Of course, Jason in studio with us here for an hour. Twitter poll brought to us by Armin Chevrolet. Proud to again be Pennsylvania's number one Chevrolet EV dealer. Now in stock, the Equinox, Blazer, and Silverado EVs. Together, let's drive. ArminChevy.com. First poll question, do you think Saquon will break Eric Dickerson's single-season rushing record? He is on pace for it, just sort of barely on pace for it, but he's got the pace right now. Yes or no, do you think he gets that record? Second poll question, better team, Jason's squad from 2 years ago, the 2022 Eagles, or this team right now? It's close. It's the same. Couple differences. Saquon's a massive difference. Better team, 2022 Eagles, or this year's team? All right, let's get to Mike right now. Mike, good morning.
Good morning, gang. How are you?
Great, Mike.
Excellent. Hey, Jason, congratulations on the new show.
I love
hearing that you're going to be celebrating the past. Richie, our old school football is back, baby.
Amen, baby.
Love it. And congratulations on number 4. My man's all over the world, and he's still getting the job done. Love him.
By the way, let me just quickly jump in and say something. Jason, I don't know if this is appropriate, but I'll say it.
I'm going to guess it's not going to be appropriate.
Yeah, I would have guessed that as well.
You know what Conklin said last night?
What did he say?
Not last night, last week, in his thing he does for us on a weekly basis. He did a fake stand-up. If you start your show with the old routine, you stand there like Carson or Letterman or Leno and do the monologue for 10 minutes.
Yeah.
It should be a joke about, I'm going to find the SOB that got my wife pregnant. It would be an interesting first if bit. You do the stand-up.
It's not a bad bit.
You know, it's pushing it, but it's not bad. All right, anyway, Mike, go ahead, pal.
No worries, Vic. So listen, I think this team, our current team, is better than the one from 2 years ago. And I, for me, it comes down to one thing, the coaching. The coaching has matured. Vic is an obvious massive upgrade over Gannon. And I'm going to come back to Nick. Nick is a different guy. Look, Nick was, you know, he was still kind of childish, still kind of kid-like a couple years ago. Nick's a different dude. John, you used the word before, wisdom. Yeah, Nick has got wisdom now. And you
he
know
does.
What? Maybe Nick has learned some of that from having Vic in the building, from having a big, big old adult, you know, the soothsayer in the building.
Well, and Mike, let me tell you something about Nick, because we can talk all we want about a lot of aspects of his personality. But I tell you this. There's something I hope people are taking to that I think he's been consistent with for 4 years now. While he's got some newfangled stuff like the connectivity and texting players, if you really listen to the way he talks publicly, press conferences, and interviews with us, he adheres, and Jason, you can speak to this, he adheres to old school principles. Physical toughness. Yeah. Resiliency, teamwork, focus on the task at hand, not looking back,
and
not looking
real.
At like he's really dialed in. I'm very impressed by that.
You know how much that matters that he preaches toughness, he preaches togetherness, but he's actually tough and he's actually together.
Totally.
That they have an issue, I don't know if you know about this, down in Miami right now.
Yeah, where they ran Vic Fangio off because they were soft?
Exactly.
How about that one?
They couldn't handle Vic Fangio. And now you've got some players in that locker room who are saying, hey, look at who we're patterning after. Our head coach, Mike McDaniel, is out here shivering in the cold.
I saw that.
Like,
saw that,
yeah. we're supposed to pattern after that? Like, no wonder we're not tough. You have players actually pointing this out. That's a major problem. But of course that's a problem. Nick is actually honest, legit, but tough. And he really is about that bond. And we've gotten sick about it. Gotten sick of hearing about it in the past, how close he is with his family and stuff. I love that.
It's important.
And we should love that. And the players can feel a real bond right now with this coach.
Hey, Mike, I need an answer from you. Who's known for something specific?
All right. Well,
meaning a characteristic or something.
We're going to go from our big swinging Nick to big blank Nick.
Oh, boy. See who can talk about that.
How's everyone doing?
Well, I haven't been naked in a locker room with him, but my man Jason Kelce is.
I sure have.
Here's all I'll ask.
Oh God,
is it real?
Is the legend real?
Yes.
I don't think that legend grows without there being some truth behind it. Yeah.
Nice.
Very well
said,
and
right
you,
there.
And you,
I think that would have been debunked a long. There's a reason there's not a Jason Kelce legend out there.
I love it. Well, this music works, and of course, it's going to be part of Jason's new show, the ESPN. Jason Kelce. What's the name of it again, Jason?
So the name is They Call It Late Night, which is an ode to the first NFL films airing ever, in which they call it Pro Football.
That's cool, man.
Yeah.
Try to use your platform to get Fassenden in the Hall of Fame because he just fell short again.
Did he?
James, remember we talked about
he's
a month ago?
Fassenden
was a semifinalist or quarterfinalist, whatever it was, and he didn't get the nod.
That blows my mind.
Well, you know who got the nod, and this guy probably deserves it too. So there was like this random category.
Meryl Reese got the nod.
Yeah, but they had, for sure. Yeah, for sure.
They definitely deserve it.
Like a contributions category, whatever it's called.
Yes.
And the guy that, like,
the game,
the guy that back in 1921 or something that organized the people to say, let's have the NFL. Like, that guy finally got the nod.
So he should probably be in.
How is that guy not in immediately?
I don't know.
It's like, all right, let's start the whole thing. Put that guy in.
The guy that originated all this in here? No.
It was a meeting. It was a meeting in Canton, Ohio. And that guy's like, let's meet in Canton, Ohio. And that's why the Pro Football Hall of Fame is Canton, Ohio. Where you will be in.
Oh, come on.
5 years, Jason. Oh, 5 years. 5 years.
Right. Ohio's going to shut down when that happens.
Oh, I didn't go at the Ohio angle.
Wow.
That's cool. That's really neat, actually.
All right, so tonight, WIP, we are carrying the, and what a big and important game it is, Packers-Lions game. So just know this. Important for the Eagles to get the one seed that Green Bay wins the game. If Detroit wins out, Detroit, of course, is the one seed because they've only lost one time this year. If Detroit loses one game the rest of the year, Detroit will still be the one seed unless this is the game they lose.
Pretty important.
Very important. So this is you got strength of schedule. The Eagles beat the Packers. It's like there's a whole formula thing to it. Without describing it all, just know it's important for the Eagles tonight that the Packers win. Let's listen to Jaws. He joined us earlier this week. We talked to him about this game. Again, we're going to broadcast it tonight here on WIP. Green Bay and Detroit, big implications for the Eagles. We asked Jaws who's going to win. Jaws, Detroit and Green Bay on Thursday. It's a big game for the implications for the one seed. Who do you think wins that game?
Green Bay. I think Green Bay, in fact, watching the game on the games this past weekend, I think clearly Green Bay now is passed by Detroit because of the injuries Detroit has suffered. Green Bay is playing at a very high level right now on both sides of football.
So, Jason, you follow this whole thing, obviously. I mean, you're covering it all for ESPN. Yeah. Is Detroit, while their record's not limping, are they starting to limp a little bit with the subtraction of big players, particularly on defense?
Yeah, the defense, they have definitely faltered a little bit the last couple weeks, but I still think they have a physicality as an offense that, you know, when they are able to control the line of scrimmage, it makes it really, really difficult to play football against a team like that. They play with a mindset. I think Dan Campbell is a phenomenal head coach. I'm not willing to say Green Bay's passed them. We'll see tonight. I mean, Green Bay is playing much better right now than when we played them earlier in the year and where they were at earlier in the year. So it should be a really, really fun game. I think their defense has definitely faltered, and I think Aiden Hutchinson is part of that, but also Alex Anzalone, who's we just talked about linebacker play, and like a guy that like sets the stage, has been in that system for a long time now, that's a big miss. So, you know, I think, I don't know who wins it. I really don't. I think I could see, you know, Detroit being Detroit and just like out physically and like controlling a line of scrimmage and shutting the run down. And I think a lot of that stuff that, you know, these Shanahan disciples and things that they like to do is all predicated on that run game working, and then all the other stuff kind of goes off of that. So we'll see. I don't know. I don't know what else to say than that. Yeah.
It's a big one. It really is. All right, let's get some calls in. Mike right now in Douglasville. Mike, good morning.
What's going on, guys? How you doing?
Great. How are you?
Jason, how you doing, man?
I'm doing good. Well, how are you doing?
I'm doing well. Thanks for asking.
Where's Douglasville?
Douglasville is like an hour, west of Philly. If you take 76 on the 422 and then just keep riding 422 until you hit a red light, you'll be in Douglasville.
it was founded by a guy named Douglas, I'm assuming?
Honestly, I have no idea.
All right.
But, I mean, whatever. It's a small town.
All right, cool.
Okay. I like it. Cool. But, so, yesterday, I've tried to get through yesterday, but I wasn't able to wait as long as I wanted to. A lot of the topic was with like Jalen Hurts and could he be the guy to throw us to victory or whatever.
Yeah. And I'm glad you're bringing this up. Go ahead.
My thing wasn't necessarily I don't necessarily question Jalen Hurts because I've seen him do amazing things. My question is, and it kind of ties into today's topic of, is the 22 team better than the 24 team? I think in 22, granted, I love our offensive line. I think we are the best run-blocking offensive line in the league, and I don't think it can be questioned. I question our pass blocking. I've seen a lot of times, obviously, Hurts rolls out of the pocket, whether it's too early or whatever the case may be. Sometimes it's almost out of necessity because he has a free block or a free guy come straight at him. And whether that's
sometimes defenses do a good job.
All right, Mike, we're gonna get Jason on that. Give me an answer here in honor of Dickerson and the goggles, someone known and identified with one certain feature.
So I actually can't go to Kevin Hart, so I'm gonna come up with more of a funny one, I hope. I honestly don't even know this guy's name, because he's so known for being a carrot top, but carrot top.
And yeah, I met him. He's a weird guy. All right, very weird guy.
That is the least surprising thing I've ever heard.
Dude, and the chances of not being under I'm just going to move on.
Okay. Sure.
For legal purposes.
I would think the two of you together.
Oh, buddy.
That was unbelievable.
I would think the two of you together, it's almost like weird plus weird. It's almost like it neutralizes.
Like two negatives equal to positive.
Make a positive.
It was like you and Carrot Top
in the same room. When it becomes color in The Wizard of Oz, everything's normal.
Well, here's where
plus
it got.
Plus both big bodybuilder guys.
James,
you might
even remember this, James. This got really weird. So I was working elsewhere at the time. James, you were as well.
Uh-huh.
Halftime in an Eagles game, I was moving from suite to suite. So just because I had some friends were bouncing around, I'm like, all right, sure, I'll go with you. I don't care. And I go into a suite. It happens to be the WIP suite.
Really?
I didn't know it was a WIP suite. No. A photograph gets taken of me, Carrot Top, and four
women.
Yeah,
I remember this. Yeah.
And then this gets posted on social media, and where I work, they're all like, Joe, you're in the WIP suite. I'm like, yeah, I found out like 20 seconds later, and I did leave pretty quickly.
Wow.
I honestly did.
Betrayal.
And I did not know that the photograph was going to get posted.
Deceiver.
And then it was like a whole thing. I'm like, what did I do?
Benedict Arnold over here.
All I did was go to an Eagles game.
You doubled down on your fandom of Carrot Top. That's why you're not.
That's a great point. You'd be like, I couldn't help it. He's my favorite.
It was a controversy.
Carrot Top was very cool, by the way. I talked to him for a while when he was at that game.
Oh.
I enjoyed talking to him.
I had a vastly different experience.
No, I did not. Maybe it's you.
All right, Jason, 2022 Eagles, 2024 Eagles. By the way, it's our Twitter poll question of the day, brought to us by Armin Chevrolet, Harry Red Tag. Bonus cast ends soon. New 2025 Chevy Trax arriving daily, starting at only $21,495. Together, let's drive to Armin Chevrolet. All right, so the first poll question, Saquon, does he break Dickerson's record? Dickerson joins us in an hour. Will he break that record, yes or no? By the way, cool reality, if you haven't figured it out yet, final two Eagles games this year, both at home. So if Saquon breaks the record, he's breaking that record in front of the Link crowd. Matter of fact, let's listen to when Dickerson broke the record, because I want you to hear the crowd. Now, this is not, I don't think maybe the TV fully picked up on it, but you'll hear a surge when he gets the record. And this is the kind of moment we want to have coming up in a month at the Link.
Now, Vince Newsom is making it possible for Eric Dickerson to come back with 3:30 to go. And the fans are going crazy. They want to see the record. It right now. He needs 6 yards, everybody, for a National Football League single season rushing record.
He's going over. And that's the moment. Announcer lays out, but you hear the surge. I mean, Ben, how cool would that be to have in 1 month at Lincoln Financial Field, man?
It would be phenomenal.
Right?
It would be phenomenal. It's a very daunting task.
It is.
And again, with the schedule, I don't know if they're going to need him.
They might not. They might not. Look, so the last two games, home Dallas, home Giants. And here's what's interesting. Eagles-Giants, you would never think would be a flex game because, like, Giants. But if he's going for that record and the NFL gets the nod that the Eagles are going to play him for those 75 yards, 25 yards, 130 yards.
Also the Saquon Giants thing. Like, what are the odds that it would be the Giants?
Yeah,
like,
he could break it against the Giants at the Link, Jason. Think about that.
Yeah, what is...
Holy mackerel!
I think there's a very real chance that that game is going to be played and that he's going to play.
That it matters? Well, hold on. So two different things.
Especially if Detroit loses tonight or loses one game. And even if they don't lose... There's still going to be the thought in the Eagles' mind of, like, if Detroit is trying to rest some starters that last game and they can, like...
Yeah.
But Jason, if you have the one seed locked up, which the Eagles may...
Well, if they have the one seed locked up, then it's a no-brainer.
To what? To not play him?
To not play him, of course. You're going to have the bye.
What if he's 52 yards away?
Yeah, I mean, if he's close, then you probably play him to get the record, I would assume. I mean, we did the same thing with me. I had a consecutive start there. I went out and played one snap.
One play. I remember that.
I remember that,
very
too.
Very ceremonial snap.
But it also gets complicated because then if he plays, does Landon Dickerson have to play? I mean, Jalen Hurts doesn't have to, but
yes,
do you need your line?
I would think that offensive line, those guys would want to be out there.
It's just
like you wouldn't be able to keep them off the field for
that. But remember this.
And so you have to protect them from themselves to some degree.
But there's also a game last year that didn't matter. A.J. Brown got hurt in the first quarter, couldn't play in the playoff game.
Yeah, no, that was bad.
Really bad.
That made it really easy for Todd to tee off on us.
Right.
It was not fun.
Anyway, it's going to be fast. Like, in 3 or 4 weeks, we might be as a...
I think the game's going to be meaningful. I think this is a big week for Saquon if he has a big game against the Panthers.
Yeah.
Which, the Panthers are playing really well, but I think with the way the Eagles are running the ball right now, if he has a big game this week, it could set the stage for something really magical to happen.
Pretty wild. All right, 2022 Eagles, this squad. So,
yeah,
I don't know if it's uncomfortable for you, because it's like when it was like you asked Dickerson, is he really going to say, heck no, I don't want him to break the record? Like, I think your 2022 is still better. It's close. Saquon is obviously a massive difference maker. Here's the way I framed it earlier in the show. This is how I feel. And I would guess most people would say this, but maybe not. At this stage of 2022, I was more confident in that team winning the Super Bowl than this team.
Interesting.
Now, that team did not win the Super Bowl, so you can say, well, Joe, you were wrong, and I was. But
we got really close.
Can't get much closer, to be honest.
You can't get much closer.
It was.
Yeah. So what do you think, Jason? That squad versus this squad?
Well, I guess I'll just go by. So offensively, a lot of the pieces are very, very similar. Now they have Saquon. That's obviously an upgrade over, you know, not that we had bad backs, but I think Saquon's proven to be a pretty incredible player. Offensive lines, I think, are pretty comparable. I think, you know, this line is better in some ways, and the other line was a little bit more experienced. I think the receiver position is virtually the same. Tight end is the same. The quarterback is the same. I think we were a little bit more, I guess, ahead of where the NFL was going that year, just offensively in general. Like, Shane Steichen and kind of the things we were doing were a little bit more innovative in that year. Not to say that Kellen Moore's not. And I think that led to some more blowout victories from an off. Like, we had a lot of like high scoring games in that regular season that I don't know right now. It feels like we're winning a lot of games, but we're winning more with, you know, having a dominant run game and some big plays.
Yep.
But there are a lot of more close than I think what I recall from 2022.
I mean, you guys rampaged.
Yeah.
By the way, that's
what I seem to recall, but I don't know if I'm remembering that properly.
No, trust me. We saw it. Up until halftime of the Super Bowl, you rampaged the whole season. You were the one seed the whole way.
But yeah.
Jalen missed two or three games, and that hurt at the end. But, like, you had the one seed the whole time. You crushed the Giants. You crushed the 49ers. You were kind of crushing the Chiefs. I mean, up until 30 minutes to go in the season, you were a freaking freight train.
Yeah. So, but now I'll go to the defense. I think defensively, I think the defensive line was better in 22, and I don't know that I have much of a question about that. As good as Jalen Carter is, I think if you look at Javon, Fletcher Cox, younger Brandon Graham, who's healthy.
Reddick.
I mean, that defensive line were monsters. Linebacker, T.J. Edwards had a phenomenal year. He was a guy that never really got a lot of credit, but was a really good linebacker for us, as well as Kaiser White. But I'll give the nod this year. I think Zach Bond's having just an insanely good year. And then defensive backs, I'd probably give the nod to this year. I think that those young guys have played phenomenal up until this point.
Even though Slay and Bradbury were both at the top of their game?
Yeah, I mean, I think if you... Well, Slay is still on the team.
But he's not as good.
I would probably, you know, I think Quinyon is playing at a very high level. I think the nickel position is probably the one that's a huge position now in the NFL, because so many teams are in 11 personnel quite a bit.
Yeah.
And Cooper DeJean might be the best nickel in the NFL right now.
He's
like, it's crazy, that's wild, man.
It is wild.
I don't, you know, not that I'm in the position to maybe judge nickels, but he's playing really, really well. And then the safeties, Reed Blankenship, CJ, like, it's a very good backfield. So, and then I think when you look at that, you then go to Jonathan Gannon versus Vic Fangio. I think JG was doing a lot of things that were creative and innovative too, where I think it's a little bit different is it feels like Vic has a little bit of a beat on that, but also has this old school mentality that I certainly appreciate. I think they both are great coaches, but I'd probably give the nod to this defense at this point with the way they're playing currently. We'll see if that holds up.
This defense and that offense, right? Is that fair?
I think that's fair.
2022 Eagles offense, 2024 Eagles.
I think that's fair.
To say who's better, I want to wait to make that statement until the end of this.
Yeah.
I mean, I know that's a cop-out, I think that either one of those teams could beat the other one at varying points of either season.
Could go either way.
It would have been a very good matchup.
Yeah. So let's do one more thing, Jason. Caller about 15 minutes ago referenced Jalen, and your reaction was interesting. Hey, I'm glad you brought that up. So, you know, one of the reasons I say this 2022 over this year's, and you guys know I give Jalen, as he deserves, credit for improvement in the last month or so. He's not turning it over. He's running more effectively. But I don't think he's as good as he was 2 years ago. I think defenses have probably made some adjustments, not just to him, but that style of quarterback, which is about half the quarterbacks in pro football. So it's two more years of coordinators getting a chance to figure out how to try to combat it. So the Jalen thing.
Yeah.
What's your reaction to any part of it?
I think obviously it felt like in 22 he was playing better. I think that there are multiple reasons for that. I think he's playing well this year, and he was playing well in 22. I think that 22 we were doing just, like you said, some things that defenses hadn't necessarily caught on, and we were combining that with really good players, and which led to some really high-powered offenses, as well as Shane Steichen being a phenomenal play caller. This year, I think obviously last year's end was really upsetting, but I think this year Jalen has really rebounded well from that. I think that the team is more cohesive and has a better identity for who they are, and they're using that. I think if you look at this past game, the reason they had success with Saquon, a lot of that was because of Jalen Hurts, and I don't think people really realize that fully. A lot of those runs that got them going in the second quarter and going in the fourth quarter, the two big drives in both of those were started with this quarterback offensive counter read play. He had a big run on both of those. And then you see these linebackers, they get really – so when you're dealing with a zone read, with the end – and the backer and the end need to be on the same page. Who's taking the running back and who's taking the quarterback? But the linebacker's key is the offensive line. If somebody pulls, he's supposed to make the gaps right on the other side of the where that guy's pulling to. So you got to run with the puller. That drive where Saquon had the big run, the linebackers don't know how to fit it. And a lot of that started because they ran a split zone play with a tight end falling back, and the linebacker misfit that one. Then they ran the quarterback OT counter play where the linebacker was trying to do the linebacker and the end weren't on the same page with the read in the back and what was happening in the backfield, and nobody was over there on the right to defend the quarterback run. And then they run a tackle pull without a read, and the backer is running it like it's a read play. So all of these things, combined with the RPOs and the slants that A.J. Brown caught and the touchdown that Dallas Goedert caught, a lot of that operates because of the tool set that Jalen Hurts has. And that's why we won the Baltimore game. Like, not only was Saquon great and the offensive line blocked well, they were not on the same page as the defense, and they couldn't be right, and they weren't right. Mm-hmm. And I think just that's something that he never really gets credit for. And I understand that because people want to see him as the pure pocket passer that has dominated the NFL over the course of its existence. But that is the reason we won the Baltimore game.
Wow.
All that's stuff.
That's great stuff.
So, if you're a defense, this is where the predicament is. If you want to play man coverage, good luck. I mean, Jalen Hurts, and this is, we'll see what happens. I want to see the Detroit Eagles matchup because Detroit loves to play man coverage. Jalen Hurts is throughout his entire career, has been great against man coverage. And part of that is like A.J. Brown, Devontae Smith, but also when you scramble in man coverage and everybody's backs are tuned to you. So I think if you want to play man coverage, I think Jalen is going to have a really good day. If you want to play two high safeties, I think Saquon's going to have a really good day. And if you want to play zone coverage, we're going to do these RPOs and things that take advantage of your rules and your assignments, and it's going to be difficult. So I think the Eagles are in a really good spot offensively. They're not as, you know, innovative in like taking the world by storm just structurally, but I think they more importantly know who they are and know how to defeat whatever a defense wants to give them. Hmm. They're much better against the blitz, Jalen in particular. So I feel really good about where he's at.
Great, well, man. I hope that you take that.
I am
to
taking
heart,
it. Yeah.
Like, really, it does matter the way that defenses have to account for Jalen. And Nick told us, I think it was last week, how differently the looks every week, the looks that this offense gets from defenses are completely unexpected because they're just trying to throw the kitchen sink out there to try to neutralize Jalen any way they can.
Yep.
They really have no way of knowing what to make of the first 15 from the whatever that defense is going to put out their perspective.
Yeah, that's what that, and since Jalen's been the quarterback, and I mean, that's something that every offense is going to struggle with. When you are a good offense and you present problems for the defense, they're going to try creative things that to throw you off your game. And that's difficult to have a first 15 for when you don't know what's going to come.
Yeah.
Very difficult. But I think, you know, these RPOs and things, I know sometimes when they're not working, they're very frustrating to watch.
It seemed like more of them came to fruition against the Ravens for some reason. Like, why was that?
I think that they have struggled all season in pass coverage and in responsibilities, especially over the middle of the ball. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's been something they have not handled well.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if you watch that drive, I still look at the linebackers and where they're fitting. I'm like, this is not gap sound like defense, you know what I mean? And
yeah.
I think that is presented because of all these other things that, you know, 1 second it's a read play with the end, the next second they're reading you in the zone, the next second it's just a straight handoff with Jordan Mulata, 375 pounds, pulling through a B gap. So it presents difficulties, and to do that well, it's not just coaching. The players, it's very hard to, you know, I can't imagine as a linebacker trying to do that.
Hey, Jason, we love having you on the program. Thanks, bud.
Yeah, thanks, guys.
Great stuff. There he is, Jason Kelce, every Thursday with this 7:30 to, well, it's supposed to be 8:30, but we kind of monopolize his time a little bit on a run sometimes. It's hard to slow the train down. We appreciate it, Jason. All right, let's go to the phones. Let's talk to Damon. He's calling from Conshohocken. Damon, good morning, buddy.
Hey, good morning.
What's up, Damon?
Wish I could have talked to Jason, but I'll get another chance. Joe.
Yes,
I wanted to bring something up to you because I remember maybe his rookie season, you spoke a lot about N'Kobe.
Yep.
You guys had him on.
Yep.
And I think it was a point, you know, you almost gave, you were giving up hope on him.
I was.
And, you know, I think a lot of people were too because he, you know, wasn't playing well. He wasn't getting himself in the starting lineup. I mean, that guy's did a 180.
And injuries, too. I think it was really injuries.
Yeah.
You know what? I would put injuries lower on the list, though. I'll tell you exactly what my mindset was, Damon. One, having stood next to him, I found him not very physically imposing, and that concerned the hell out of me. Two, when we would see him play, namely preseason games and early, I think he played in the first game last year, maybe, and then got hurt. I just remember never feeling like I was impressed. So, yes, I would say I hadn't given up hope, but I would say my hope was really low, and this is a really impressive turnaround.
Absolutely, and I think, you know, he's one of the guys now, too. I don't know if him or Zach Vaughn are the play callers. I'm pretty sure it's Dean that's the play caller on defense.
I think it is, right, John? Is he the guy?
He brings some intensity.
Who? Is N'Kobe?
I think the green dot has been N'Kobe.
I think it is.
Past.
I think so,
yes.
Too.
Yes.
And, yeah, that would make sense.
I'm not really certain, Damon, but I think it is, but I'm not sure.
Right. And if he is, I mean, again, that's a positive in his direction. And just, you know, he's putting it all together. He really is.
No, that's great.
The whole team's playing with it.
And you know what?
N'Kobe Dean is blowing people up. N'Kobe Dean has become a linebacker who prides himself on big, explosive, I'm going to destroy this back trying to block me type hits, which I never expected. I didn't think in that tiny, he looked like he was a 225-pound, maybe 220, like a safety. He's Brian Dawkins size in my mind when I met him.
Exactly.
And
Ben, you've seen.
When he was in the booth with us over at the NovaCare Complex in the RV, I actually texted my brother-in-law because he's the biggest Eagles fan there is. I said, Steve, how does this guy play linebacker in the NFL? I have no idea how.
And the thing about what he's doing this year.
He didn't do a very good job initially.
Well, he didn't, but here's the thing that amazed, well, there's a lot of things that amaze me about this year. But Damon, one is that he makes the tackle, but two is that he inflicts the punishment on the tackle. Like,
because
he is
so
one of the
fast.
His
speed is a factor.
But he also must have good technique. There's something about...
No, you know what it is? He's fearless in terms of getting on contact. He actually accelerates on contact. And a lot of times guys will run to contact.
Yep.
He runs through contact, which when those running backs are trying to pass set, essentially, and pass protect against him, he's just got too much velocity.
That's it.
That's what you're saying.
That's it. Yeah. Because I remember, and I make the equation, when you could run the catch over at home plate back when it was allowed, the big lumbering guys that would come in and run you over, it was nothing. But you get those guys that were put together and were fast.
Ray Lankford.
Ray Lankford, Darren Dalton. Perfect example.
Yep.
I mean, he just wore Dutch out.
Yep.
And it was those guys that I feared
like
when they were coming
when he
in.
Did
yes,
it.
Exactly right.
You think? Yeah. Hey, Damon, give me a great answer here. This is for the Kevin Hart tickets. Someone known and identify with one certain thing.
So I harpen back to when I was younger and growing up, and I think, you know, talking about sports equipment and stuff like that. Allen Iverson in the shooting sleeve. I mean, I wanted to wear a shooting sleeve because of him. You know?
Yeah, I think AI in the crossover would have been a better answer. But yeah, he started wearing that sleeve, I don't know, maybe 01. Remember 01, how the whole body was falling apart in the postseason and he just kept going?
Why is it called a shooting sleeve?
I didn't know that it was. I just remember he'd had that thing.
Was this?
Like, it covered. Like elbow, like but more really, forearm, elbow.
I mean, I remember it.
Up to the bicep.
I think we all knew it was more decorative than wasn't it like medical.
When he was at Georgetown, didn't he always wear a long sleeve shirt under his?
I don't think
jersey?
So.
I don't think
he
so.
He wore a t-shirt.
You can't
t-shirt,
do that.
A t-shirt. Yeah, think like he just wanted something underneath that.
All right, so
God, I love watching him play.
Well, he also fell a million times. That might have been to protect his elbow on the hardwood, because you think about it, how often you fall.
I think he did have a pad on that sleeve.
That would
as
be
well.
My guess.
Yes.
My guess is probably a pad for the elbow. Mm-hmm. So, all right, I got to come. Oh, boy, am I going to look like a dummy.
Uh-oh.
It won't be the first time.
No, but this is going to be one of the biggest.
Wow, one of the biggest
one
is
the biggest.
A bold statement.
One of the biggest.
Wow.
So, Ben, you weren't here yesterday, but I covered this yesterday. I had lunch recently with somebody in Philadelphia sports who I had met about 25 years ago. Mm-hmm. And we had identified that we had met years ago, and I honestly couldn't remember why I met with him. I know that sounds weird. I really couldn't. But he had told me that he may still have his calendar from 1998, and I told him I actually thought I could figure out the day that we met. He said, I'll check in my calendar if I had you in there, because I still kept that year. I was like, okay. So he sent me a photograph yesterday, and I read it on the air. And as it read, and everyone was, you know, it was kind of cool. He had written from that day, talked with Joe to camera as a favor. Good kid. Could see him as a WIP morning host someday.
Wow.
I referenced this on the show yesterday.
Yep.
You know what he told me after the show? He wrote that 2 days ago to play a prank on me. It was a prank. It was not real. I went on the air yesterday, Ben. I said it made my day. It
made your day.
What a great prank.
And he told me it was a freaking prank.
Phenomenal job, sir. Whoever you are.
Can you believe that? Well done. Well done.
Well done.
Well done.
That is like really good stuff.
Tips my cap
that's
to you,
next
sir.
Level
right?
prank.
That is, that's good. I got gotten.
That's good
stuff.
You got
gotten.
I got gotten bad.
That is good
stuff. I really did.